Good evening, everyone. Welcome to a special broadcast, a public affairs presentation of KVSH Radio and KVSH.com. We're glad that you joined us this evening for the presentation on 30 by 30, American Stewards of Liberty. Margaret Byfield is going to be our guest speaker. Trent Luce is going to MC things tonight. He'll do an introduction here for us shortly. But we had a lot of people that called, and they wanted to know if we could broadcast this. And since we're not doing any ball games or that kind of thing, thought this would be a good public service thing for KVSH to do. Let you guys out there that are cabin or those that are work that just can't make it to come on over or to come and listen. And we're also out there at KVSH.com. So if there's people out there that are you're listening and you think they might be interested in finding out about this climate change, the executive order signed by President Biden here a couple weeks ago that talks about 30-30 and what the title of this study is going to be tonight is the 30 by 30 land grab. So it kind of tells you where we're headed with this. You can go online to the American Stewards of Liberty and find out a little bit more about that. And Trent Luce is going to take things away from us. I think we got everything set for Trent to start off. See how everything's going to work. We were just piecing together everything here a little bit ago.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Liberty Matters 3030 Land Grab. I know that a few folks are still coming in, and look at this. Let's start by giving yourselves a round of applause for filling the auditorium here at Valentine High School because you care about the future of liberty and the future generations of American citizens. A round of applause for yourself. Speaking of liberty, I also feel that it is prudent that we say thank you to those individuals who have risked so much so that we have, for 244 years, have had the ability to come together in meetings like this and choose to or not to wear a mask, I might just add, as a little tidbit. But all of that is only made possible because for 244 years there have been men and women who've said, pick me. I want to be a part of preserving freedom for future generations. If you would not mind, and you're in this audience, and a veteran or currently serving, would you please stand so we can say thank you to you as well? Thank you very much. That's awesome. I can't imagine a better place to have this, a better person to have with us as we, I feel there is a new groundswell support to no longer sit back and say, when are they going to fix this for us? We have to be involved and empower ourselves to fix it. And fix it means get back to the liberties that the forefathers guaranteed us from God through this thing we call the U.S. Constitution. And I'm going to introduce Margaret in a moment, but before I do, I asked her if she'd sing the national anthem, and she said no. She's got other things on her mind. We're going to allow her to do that. I do have to share one story with you because we are in God's own cow country. I don't know if Margaret really understands that. She will by the time the evening is over. She's got all these big ranch histories in Nevada and lives in Texas now and all these other things. But it reminds me of the sandhiller who went to the gates. He was there at the gates of heaven with St. Peter. And he said, I'm here from Cherry County, God's own cow country. I'm a rancher. Spent my entire life taking care of God's creation to improve the planet and improve mankind. St. Peter looks at him and says, nope, sorry, we have no sandhillers on our list today to get into heaven. Well, there's got to be a mistake. We've been toiling and dealing with Mother Nature and everything that you brought to us for generations. There has to be a place for all ranchers, particularly sandhill ranchers, God's own cow country in heaven. St. Peter says, nope, you know the drill. You're not on the list. Boom, right away, the sandhiller gets dropped straight to hell. Well, that didn't go so good because the sandhiller, he can make a good situation out of anything, right? It doesn't matter what Mother Nature brings to us. He'll find a way to make it better. It wasn't long he was creating a cooling, entire cooling system, and hell was becoming more comfortable. And then there was a mobility problem, and so he created these ways to get all around hell, and suddenly God caught wind that there was a sandhiller in hell making it pretty comfortable, so he rung up the devil. If there's an English teacher here, I'm not sure that's the right word. He rang the devil on the phone and said, "Hey, devil, I understand we made a mistake. You got a Sandhills rancher down there. He was supposed to get in. We just had a hanging chad that day on our list, and he didn't make it in." "No, no, God, you know the deal. Once in hell, you're in hell." Well, God, uncharacteristically, got a little testy, and he got a little beside himself, and he said, "Listen, devil, either you get me my sandhiller back up here where he belongs, or I'm going to file a lawsuit against you." The devil just smirked and said, "Well, good luck finding an attorney up there." With that said, I personally don't know a family who's had more interactions with attorneys and courtrooms than anybody in the Wayne Hage family. I'm very blessed that in my life, the first time I met Margaret was this evening. She's joined me on the radio, but I've known her family forever. I guess I told Wayne today, I called Wayne Jr. today, and I said, "Hey, you've been hiding the best for last." Well, we're there now, buddy. They've been fighting for property rights in the West for the better part of 40 years. She's going to tell you that story. And I just tell you, because who in their right mind would spend most of their adult life fighting when all of the odds were against you? And then to do what all people in agriculture really want to accomplish, you not only spend your life fighting, you create a whole family of fighters. And that's where Margaret and her husband Dan have formed the American Stewards of Liberty, because the only way we continue to maintain liberty is to stand up and fight. And you came here this evening to be empowered. And let me tell you, there's not a person, there's not a family that we could be empowered more that's been in the trenches longer than Margaret and her family. Margaret Byfield, please join me. I'm leaving. You come up on stage and empower us to 30-30 land grab. Liberty matters. A great Sandhills welcome, Margaret Byfield.
For a long time. We've known that there is, I think there's a real tug of war that is on the international scene, and we're seeing it play out here in the U.S. And that is two schools of thought. The one is the American school of thought. It's individual liberty. It's, you know how to manage your land better than anybody else, and you should have the right to do that. It's private property rights. You control your wealth. You control what you do. You make those decisions for yourself. And our nation was founded on that, and I would say we have been a pretty good beacon of liberty. But there's the other school of thought, which is individuals shouldn't be trusted, that we need the big, important, smart people, which I kind of term the administrative state, to make decisions for us. And, you know, we've seen that play out as well. Socialism is, we've seen it fail over and over in world history. But that is the philosophy. And when we talk about 30 by 30, that's really what we're fighting. And when I look at the new administration and what we're seeing come down the pipe, that's really the tug of war that I'm seeing, is the group of people who do not think we are capable of running our own lives. That for the greater good, they may need to make decisions over how you use your land. And then there's us. who think, as the landowner who lives every day on that land, takes care of that land, knows all its seasons, maybe has grown up on that land, is 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 generations, knows that land and what it needs and how to utilize it and how to care for it better than any group of smart biologists in Washington, D.C. And that's really what we're fighting. So I think I really just want to jump into this. When right before the president was inaugurated, you know, we look at a lot of news reports. We try to follow what is coming down the pike and what we may need to be attuned to. And in some of the stuff that we were reading, we started picking up this mention of this 30 by 30. And so started looking into it a little deeper, thinking, what is this 30 by 30? What do they mean? And found out, get this to an end. Found out that there is this group, the Center for American Progress, who had published a report in August of 2019 that kind of laid the groundwork for this philosophy that for the greater good, we need to set aside and permanently protect 30% of America's land and ocean. Now, this isn't the first time that we've seen groups come out with this, something like this. So, you know, you kind of look at it and you think, okay, yeah, well, we've heard this before, but that's a real high bar, and I don't know how they're going to get that done. But as I started looking into it a little deeper, found that this is during the campaign, and actually after the election, so we knew that we were looking at a Vice President Harris. Found out that when Vice President Harris was in the Senate, she co-sponsored a resolution that called for conserving 30% of America's land and ocean. So when I saw this, I thought, this could be a little more serious. Then, you know, Deb Hoagland, who has been nominated for the Department of Interior Secretary, she, at the time, was a representative in the House. Well, she co-sponsors the companion resolution for 30 by 30. Then we start seeing Biden announce who's going to be filling kind of the top agency jobs. And you see one gentleman was an author of the Green New Deal. You see some staff from the Center for American Progress coming over and filling positions. And the CEO of American Progress is the lady who Biden nominated for to be over the Office of Management Budget, OMB, which is a really high position. And that's the first cabinet nominee that the Senate actually prevented from going through. So thank you. That was huge for us who are fighting 30 by 30. So back up a little bit, who's Center for American Progress? Since they kind of spearheaded the first real paper on this, Center for American Progress was founded with money from George Soros. The founder was John Podesta, and they're funded by big names like Bloomberg and some other key people that you would know. But in a nutshell, they're people who are very progressive liberals and believe in the notion that the ruling class could be governing how you use your land. So that was a little alarming as we started seeing this stuff come out and things lining up. And so we published a Liberty Matters news service, and on the day after the inauguration, we did a little story on 30 by 30 because we thought, we think this is going to come up. Well, little did we know, 7 days later, January 27th, you remember President Biden signed the climate crisis executive order. And that's where he goes in and he shuts down oil and gas development on the federal lands and a number of different things that he does to resolve this imminent crisis that if we don't do these drastic things today, we were putting Earth on this course where we will never correct. and we are doomed to annihilation. And that's really the philosophy behind this. Everything, all the measures that they put up, all of their solutions are backed by this thinking that if we don't do all these things by 2030, you know, it's over for us, for Earth, for humans. And that's kind of the approach that they're all taking. So in this executive order, you scroll down to, hello. Section 216, and you'll see this is the text, this is clipped right out of there, of the president wanting to conserve 30% of our lands and oceans. So we thought, okay, it's here. This is what they intend to do. Now, the executive order talks about the Department of Interior working with all the other agencies, putting together a report on how they're going to implement this. So we think, okay, we've got 90 days to kind of get everything on our end organized and to figure out how we can protect communities. But it turns out we didn't have that much time. This is the Department of Interior fact sheet. It was issued the same day. And this gave us a little bit more information. The executive order just says we need to conserve 30% of America's land and ocean by 2030. And it doesn't say too much. It does say we're going to work with landowners. But it doesn't give too many details. There's no authorization in it. It doesn't say what law authorizes it. There's no scientific backing in it. It doesn't say what science backs up that we're in this huge crisis that has to be solved with drastic measures. And so the DOI fact sheet comes out right at the same time the EEO is signed. And it gives us a little more information. And it points out that 60% of the land is in its natural state, but we're losing a football field worth of it every 30 seconds. And that only 12% of the land is permanently protected now, according to their assessment. So we got a little bit more information. But when I read through this, I thought, I know where this came from. Came right out of the CAP report, the Center for American Progress report that I mentioned at the top. So I figured, okay, the CAP report explains what it means by what it plans to take. So let's look at what they're talking about. How much land is 30%? There's 2.27 billion acres in America. 30% would be 681 million acres. 12% would be 272 million acres. Now, as a size, they say 12% is protected. Already, 28% of our nation is federal land. But for their 12%, they're not including all the federal land acreages. They're just including those areas that are protected with better restrictions. So that's kind of interesting. So what makes up the 12%? They say 12% of the land is already conserved. This kind of gives us an idea of what we think they're going to try to put in to get the rest of the 30%. And they say, this comes out of the CAP report, they say national parks, wilderness areas, permanent conservation easements on private land, state parks, national wildlife refuges, national monuments, or other protected areas, whatever that is. So this is what, those are the things that they use to come up with 12% is permanently protected in its natural state. And that's the key phrase that they use. So when they say permanently protected, like a conservation easement is issued in perpetuity, in its natural state, wilderness lands, you can't use mechanized equipment. If it starts to burn, the policy is let it burn. That's what they're looking at. So that's what we think that they are shooting for in the 30%. But again, you know, we're kind of reading tea leaves because they haven't given us a whole lot of information. They haven't been very transparent, and they haven't revealed any of their plans of what they really are thinking. So try to make it a good educated guess. So let's do some crisis math. They say a football field is lost every 30 seconds. Now remember, when they get to these figures, they're always using like a model or a projection figure. So somebody has decided, well, we think we're losing this now, so we extrapolate that out and we build in these assumptions. We think we're going to be that we're really losing a football field every 30 seconds to develop it. So that ends up to be 3,000 acres a day, or 1.1 million acres a year. So their goal is 30% by 2030, but according to their math, the 30% is the 681 million. According to their math, we're only losing 11 million acres a year. So that's a little fuzzy. But that 11 million acres is only 0.5% of U.S. acres. That's all we're losing, according to their math. It doesn't sound like a crisis to me, does it to you? And that's only 1.7% of the land the federal government already owns. So it does, it begs the question, why are they seeking 681 million acres? The crisis they talk about really isn't matching the action. So what does this look like? I had a local reporter send this to me, and I love this graph. It came out of the National Geographic. 12% is that square, and 30% is this square. That's a lot of America. And as we talk about this, think through what 30% of Nebraska do you guys want to contribute to this? Good answer. All right. So, up until this point, we're thinking, all right, we have 90 days. They're going to do a report. I was kind of hoping they were going to study what they were going to study. You know how when government really doesn't want to get anything done, they put a committee together, and then they study it for 2 years. Well, that's not the case. The executive order was passed January 27th. February 11th, the secretary, acting secretary of the Department of Interior, issues Secretary Order 3396, which rescinds a Trump policy which gave state and local governments the ability to veto a federal land acquisition in their area if it was done through the Land and Water Conservation Fund. So why did they rescind the ability of states and local governments to say, wait a minute, we really don't think our area is the best place for federal land or this kind of protection? Why did they rescind that? Remember, they haven't released their report yet. We don't even know where they're planning to target. We're making an educated guess. But they're already moving to clear hurdles. I found this really interesting. There's a report that I read is the Energy and Environment News, and it's a very, very good report, very credible. At least I think it is. That's what I found over the years. And it's written by the other side. It's written by the environmentalists. So it's a very good place to get an indication of what the opponents of our agenda are thinking. And after when that secretarial order was issued that rescinded the secretarial order to get states and local governments their veto power, this is what they reported. Critics said this move, meaning retaining the ability of states and local governments to revoke or to veto a land acquisition, would have prevented conservation efforts in states where more conservative leaders are sensitive about losing too much private land, and suggested that catering to conservatives was exactly the intention, i.e., of the Trump policy. kind of gives you a little sense of what they really think about private land, private landowners. Okay. Next. A bill was filed in Congress by Representative DeGette. She is she represents Denver, Colorado. She has this Colorado wilderness bill that she's been trying to get through Congress for quite a few years. It's kind of interesting because she's from Denver, but her bill creates wilderness in somebody else's district. She's not creating 1 acre of wilderness in her own. And it's in Representative Bogart's district there in Colorado. And so what they did with this bill, H.R. 8803, she filed it. And normally a bill that's dealing with land rights or any kind of federal land management is going to go through the House Resource Natural Resource Committee because that's who has jurisdiction over the issue. She filed in the Rules Committee, went through the Rules Committee where there was a 11-4 Democrat-Republican majority. And then everybody else who had a wilderness bill piled on and added it into the bill. So it ended up, by the time everybody piled in their stuff, it ended up creating 1.5 million acres of new wilderness, withdraws 1.2 million acres for mineral production. Now that area is the area kind of around the Grand Canyon in Arizona, where we have a lot of our rare earth minerals. You know, the stuff that we're importing from Europe and China right now, because we can't mine our own rare earth minerals, they want to withdraw another 1.2 million acres of that. Designates 1,200 miles of new wild and scenic rivers and expands 110,000 acres of national monument land. And adds 400,000 acres of recreation, conservation, and special management areas. So the bill was heard in the Rules Committee, passed out of Rules Committee on a Tuesday, sent to the floor, and passed on the House floor 4 days later that Friday. So again, and in the news reports, again, a lot of this comes from the E&E news reports that we read. They said that H.R. 803 is kind of one of our first steps to getting to 30 by 30. So again, we can kind of see what they're going for, what they're going after. When I say they are moving very quick, they are moving very quick. Now, what I think is really interesting is that everywhere you read about 30 by 30, they say, we need to conserve 30% of our land, but look, we're really going to work with these landowners. We respect property rights. And, you know, we're here to work with you. We're here to tell you how to manage your land, but we want to do it with your cooperation. Right? It's kind of, when you read their stuff, it sounds good, and I've had people email me and say, but they say they're going to work with landowners. What do you find objectionable to that? I'm thinking, well, their actions. So, is private land targeted? That's been one of the debates as this came out is, are they just going to, block up more of the federal land, put more of it in wilderness, or what is the real plan here? And do they have an intent to target private land at all? So again, we go back to the CAF report because that seems to be where we can read cut and paste language in some of the documents the administration is using. And it says that although private lands account for approximately 60% of the land in the contiguous 48 states, less than 1% of these lands are permanently managed for conservation. So they're concerned about that. Only 1% falls in that 12% that they talk about. Meanwhile, more than 3/4 of the natural areas that the United States lost in the contiguous 48 states was on private land. So they see where the real development problem is on private land. So are they going to come after private land? Of course they're going to come after private land. And here's maybe even, I come to bring even worse news. what goal number 8 in the CAP report is 30 by 30 is today's goal. But they are following this philosophy called the Hacker philosophy, which means they really need 50% locked up, conserved, permanently protected in its natural state by 2050. So if we let them take the 30%, we know where they're headed.